Catholic commentary. Spiritual warfare. Stay ready so you don't have to get ready.
Jesus 911.
Good morning, Jesus 911 listeners. Ruben Alva, Jesse Romero, two-man car, giving you some updates on some of the things, the latest that are happening out there in the news. And, George, good morning, Jesse. We've got some good articles we're going to talk about today.
Absolutely, Ruben. I'm 10-8. I'm on duty, and I'm ready to go.
All right. You know, I almost...
Hey, let me just mention that the month of October, real quick, before we get onto some of the show topics,
yeah,
is the month of the Holy Rosary. Let's not forget, every Catholic should be praying the rosary every single day for the rest of your life until the Lord calls you home.
Amen.
This is a devotion, which obviously Our Lady loves and God loves because God gave it to us, mm-hmm, in Luke chapter 2. And there's many saints that have told us about the power, the efficacy of the rosary. For example, St. Louis de Montfort, Blessed Jacinta Francesco, Sister Lucia, St. Bernadette of Subaru, Blessed Alan de la Roche, St. Dominic de Guzman. There is such power in this rosary because it's basically the New Testament in 53 beads. Mm. So, Catholics, let's pray the rosary every day. Fulfill the Fatima request so that we can say when we die and stand before the judgment seat of Christ that we did our part.
Amen. You're absolutely right, Jesse. There's no getting around it, man. That's our... Next to the Mass, I think that's the most important thing.
Yeah, Ruben, I'll tell you what. It's interesting that when you hear a lot of the approved Marian apparitions, one of the things that we know from Catholic prophecy is that when the Antichrist comes, what's he going to go after? He's going to stop the sacraments because he has to stop the flow of sanctifying grace into the world. So the church will go underground. He won't be able to stop it because it'll go underground, like it'll be catacomb style. But this is why you hear Our Lady in approved apparitions, Good Success, La Salette, Fatima, where they're always talking. Our Lady tells us that we have to pray the rosary. Doesn't mention the sacraments. Why? Because, again, that's one of the things that we're going to, one of the persecution is the Antichrist is going to try to go after the sacraments to stop them. And you see how easy he did it right now.
Yeah.
At least the spirit of the Antichrist. You see how easy it was, Reuben.
Yeah.
Just get a couple of doctors to intimidate the bishops and, hey, lock everything down. It wasn't that hard. So this is why, though they can take the sacraments from us, and if you don't believe me, it happened already. They can't take the rosary and the devotions from us. So that's mm-hmm. why this is so important.
That's right.
Makes sense?
Makes sense to me. And you know, thank goodness I didn't wear that same shirt. I was going to wear it, and we would look like a couple of bops of twins.
Jesus 911, yeah.
Anyway, I had it on, and I took it off. So anyway, good thing I did. You know, my
somebody told you don't wear it.
My guardian angel,
it.
Yeah.
We're going to look like buffos. Hey, what happened yesterday, Ruben, at the rally in Los Angeles? You know, you got an update? I know there was a big rally in front of City Hall.
Yeah, I wasn't aware. I mean, I knew that was going on, but I couldn't follow it. Yeah.
Well, I hope it was successful. Ruben, a lot of people are caving in a good way. The CEO of Southwest, for example.
Yeah, Delta as well.
Yeah, they just said, you know what? We're not going to fire anybody. We're not going to force anybody. We have to chill out here because I heard that some police departments around the country, mm-hmm. chiefs of police are saying, we're not going to force this on people. Half the department's going to walk out. So it's the pushback and the resistance is working, Ruben.
Yeah, unfortunately, like in those red states, Seattle, and I just saw a pretty disheartening video of police and firemen walking up the stairs to the City Hall, and they were going to turn in their boots. These were all people who are standing by their convictions and their values, and they're not going to take the jab, and they're willing to give up their income and their livelihood for their family because that's how strong they believe in it. And
well, they don't want to die. They don't want to go through the slow death Fauci Wuhan virus vaccine.
Yeah.
That's why.
Because it is not going to stop there, Jesse. The next one, the boosters are going to come out, and it's just going to keep on going.
Yeah, they're going to say, oh, you need another one because this one didn't work.
Yeah.
And they're going to just inject people till they kill them, until we have this mass depopulation, which is the plan of the globalists and Satan.
That's right. Yeah, so George Soros, he's working for Satan, and he's He's given $1 million to a group trying to defund the police. And, you know, it's amid the surge of crime. So that's what we're going to talk about. So it starts off, it's an article by Jack Phillips, billionaire financier George Soros. And now I don't know why he's not arrested yet, you know, because he's the deep state is protecting him.
He's probably got most judges and law enforcement, you know, chiefs and sheriffs and FBI paid off, Ruben. Let's just be honest. You think he's not sending them a nice donation?
Yeah, well, you know, he's funding everyone else, you know, the immigration movement, it's him.
And Ruben, I'll tell you, you know what spawns all this corruption? It goes back to this, people's pursuit for money and power. Mm-hmm. This is every single person that you know that's corrupted. It's the Satan uses the same twofold strategy. It's the promise of much power or money. Mm-hmm. Those are the two ways that they've been corrupting politicians and even churchmen since the time of Christ.
That's right. That the inordinate love of money, they make it their God. They go after it with everything, every beat of their heart. And they don't care who they step on to get there, you know.
As if you're going to take it with you.
Yeah. So billionaire financier George Soros, he directed $1 million to this left-wing group that seeks to cut funding for police departments. He sent the funds to the Color of Change PAC on May 14th, and the contribution was the largest political contribution made by Soros during the 2021 election cycle. Now, Color of Change, it describes itself as a racial justice group, has frequently called for the defunding of police departments across the United States, including leading an online campaign to slash funding following the deaths of George Floyd and Breonna Taylor. And so this petition on the group's website says, take action, defund the police, and invest in communities now, and invest in black communities, defund the police. Well, we saw that spike.
Ruben, the only person that have gotten rich are the ones that started Black Lives Matter. They got rich, and all this money that they took in from corporations and professional athletes, none of them trickled down to the ghetto.
No.
It stood in the pockets of these leaders that bought themselves $3 or $4 million homes all over the country.
Yeah. You know, I did a little research on this Color of Change. Its founder, Van Jones, and James Rucker, they propelled into the national spotlight back in like 2005. They were criticizing Bush's treatment of the Hurricane Katrina victims. And just to show you where their strong ties are, Color of Change has strong ties in various partnerships with Services Employees International Union, as well as with the now defunct Association of Community Organizations for Reform, now called ACORN. ACORN was composed of radical activists implicated in election fraud investigations. And then it goes on to say, so this guy, Van Jones, he's playing on.
Well, worked for CNN for years, by the way.
Did he? I don't know.
Yeah, that's him. Yeah.
So he graduated from law school, but then he had a change of heart, serving time in jail in 92 after the result of mass arrest during a San Francisco rally during the riot, Rodney King verdict. And then 2007, he reflected on his arrest, and then he said that it accelerated my political radicalization. So he said, while in jail, according to the East Bay Express, Jones said, I met all these young radical people of color. I mean, really radical communists and anarchists. And it was like, this is what I need to be a part of. And then he decided not to go to D.C., but said, stay in San Francisco. And he said he spent the next 10 years of his life working with a lot of the people he met in jail trying to be a revolutionary. And in 94, Jones helped form the group Standing Together to organize a revolutionary movement, STORM, according to the East Bay Express. And they held study groups on theories of Marx and Lenin, and dreamed of a multiracial socialist utopia. So this is the kind of people. These are the kind of people that are involved with Color Change and Soros.
Ruben, they're anarchists, they're Marxists, they're communists, and this is the spirit of Saul Alinsky that still lives. He started these community organizing groups in the '60s.
Yes,
Barack Obama and the Clintons continued. They were students of his. Mm-hmm. They continued perpetuating these community organizations or these community. Yeah. And now they're being well funded. So now they have the infrastructure because of Saul Alinsky, Obama, and the Clintons. And the Democrat Party now has basically annexed themselves to these community organizing groups. And now they have funding from billionaires. They're dangerous, Ruben,
yeah.
because they're young and they're radical and they have no moral restraints. For example, like you and I, we're followers of Christ. We have moral restraints. There's certain things that we'll do and we won't do.
Right.
We won't cross a certain line. Ruben, there's no line that these anarchists won't cross because they're godless pagans.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know, that same guy, Obama, took him to Washington and had him in a position. He didn't last 6 years there or 6 months there because of his radical positions, and they had to get rid of him. So anyway, this is all.
Ruben, I was at CNN one day doing an interview in Spanish, CNN Latino, and as I was waiting to go into the room, I was going to debate a leftist secular humanist Latino. Van Jones walks out. He had just finished, debating somebody in English. He walks out. I forget with who, another high power person there as I was walking in. So I've seen him two or three times. When I lived in L.A., I would get invited to CNN Latino probably about two dozen times to debate secular humanist.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, last summer you had this violent surge of crime, including homicides and rapes and robberies. They've surged in numbers of major cities, and then so some of the politicians have just said, hey, look, they got to back down on this defunding the police because they realized it wasn't working for them.
Ruben, most black Americans don't want the police to be defunded. They want more cops in their neighborhoods.
Absolutely. Yeah. They're the ones who stand to suffer the most.
Yes.
Jesus.
All right.
Go ahead, Jess.
Yeah, OSHA will not make employers record worker side effects. That's up next. Stick around.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
We are back. Two-man car. We are 10-8 for Jesus. We're talking about OSHA will not make employers record worker side effects from forced COVID vaccines. So there's no way that they're ever going to get the truth about the vaccine and the results that it produces and all the health problems that it's producing because nobody's being honest. So,
Ruben, everybody's in on this. I mean, I'm telling you, Fauci and the Democrats and the Chinese communists, they have everybody intimidated so much so that everybody is shilling for them. Everybody's basically... collaborating with them. Mm-hmm. OSHA stands for Occupational Safety and Health Administration. That's from the Department of Labor. That's kind of a national, those are national guidelines for employees.
Yeah.
And you would think, you know, FBI, OSHA, CDC. I grew up all my life, Ruben, thinking, yeah, these are objective governmental, agencies that you can trust.
Right.
Hey, you can trust them. Boy, oh boy, Ruben, are my eyes open now.
Yeah.
I mean, probably in times past, you can trust them. But I think a lot of these agencies now, most of us are very suspicious of them because they've become politicized. But it's only happened in the last couple of years. I don't think this is something that's been around for 40 or 50 years. I think with this COVID cult religious mafia, I think this is where a lot of people just basically sold their soul to them.
Yeah. Yeah, we are in tough times, Jesse, no doubt about it. And so when the government knocks on your door, say, hey, I'm from the government, I'm here to help you, you slam that door in their face.
Yeah, Ronald Reagan said those are the nine most dangerous words. Hi, I'm from the government, and I'm here to help you.
Yeah, exactly. Go ahead, Jesse. Start.
So when it comes to science and medicine, transparency is everything.
Mm.
Scientific discourse requires all parties to be informed, and dissenting opinions, even if they're in the minority, need to be heard. In medicine, how can people make the right decision for themselves if they aren't given all of the relevant information?
Mm-hmm.
Stands to reason. According to the Department of Labor, Occupational Safety and Health Administration, transparently, apparently, is not important in either of these areas. In fact, OSHA, we'll call them OSHA now, believes that transparency and telling the truth are a hindrance to the common good. while the agency, this governmental agency, OSHA, has issued guidance requiring employers to record and report COVID-19 infections and deaths, it said it will not require those same employers to record side effects from COVID-19 vaccination through May 2022. I wonder why, Ruben. Can it be because the bodies are piling up from the people that have gotten the double jab and that have died as a result of the double jab? Can it be this is the reason they want to hide those numbers? Because, again, the bodies are just piling up sky high.
What do you say? I absolutely agree. I agree. And I know on the CDC website, it does say that it was saying 12,000 people had died from the vaccine. And now they flipped it and they said, oh, it's only like 6,000. I have it. I looked on their website and it's ridiculous what they are putting out. But let's finish this here. And
Dr. Malone, the one that the man that he was invented, one of the guys that is an expert on mRNA. Mm-hmm. He said that the CDC's numbers, he says they're about the actual number of deaths is about five times higher than whatever you see on the website. He goes, it's about five times higher.
Right.
And he's got an inside, he's got an inside knowledge of this stuff.
Yeah. But, what they say on the website is that, you can't. There's no way of confirming that it was caused by COVID. So they said, look, it's not clear whether a vaccine caused the problem. Some VAERS, that's the VAERS is the Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System, VAERS. And they said anyone can report events to VAERS, even if it's not clear whether a vaccine caused the problem. And some VAERS reports may contain information that is incomplete, inaccurate, coincidental, and unverifiable. You see how they put all these disclaimers there. These adverse events are studied by vaccine safety experts who look for unusually high numbers of health problems or pattern problems after people receive the particular vaccine. It went on to say that, the increased number of deaths reported after COVID-19 vaccinations between December 14, 2020 through July 19, 2021, and they were reporting 12,313 deaths. And then, lo and behold, they updated it on July 21st at 6:30 p.m. They said, we received 6,207 reports of death among people who received the COVID. So they've just now they're going 338 million people have been vaccinated. So that's only a death ratio of 0.0018%. So that's they try to spin it.
They're trying to minimize the damage that's actually being done.
Yeah. And what was interesting is that they went on to say that July 7th, 2021, the UK's Medicines and Healthcare Products Regulatory Agency had received 456 yellow card reports of suspected adverse drug reactions to the Pfizer-BioNTech vaccine in which the patient died shortly after the vaccine. 983 reports for COVID vaccine AstraZeneca and 7 for the COVID vaccine Moderna. And then the majority, the majority of these yellow card reports were in older people or people with underlying illnesses, says the UK's MHRA. So they're going to say, it's underlying conditions. They never shied away from calling it a COVID death when a good number of people had underlying conditions like obesity, like comorbidities, diabetes, respiratory problems. Everything was called a COVID death, Jesse. So now they want to say, these are underlying conditions. You can't have it both ways.
That's right.
George Floyd, was the only COVID person who was given a different cause of death, George, and not the fentanyl overdose that they should have used. I'm just saying, Jesse. Unbelievable.
You forgot St. George Floyd.
Yeah.
You forgot. Because they've canonized him.
Yeah.
Ruben, there's a paragraph in the catechism that everybody that's writing an exemption letter, they should use it on their letter. It's paragraph 2295 of the Catechism of the Catholic Church. Mm. It says this. It's very good. It says this, quote, "Research or experimentation on the human being cannot legitimate acts that are in themselves contrary to the dignity of persons and to the moral law." The subject's potential consent does not justify such acts. Experimentation on human beings is not morally legitimate if it exposes the subject's life or physical and psychological integrity to disproportionate or avoidable risks.
Mm.
It's clear. I mean, yep. 2295, anybody writing a Catholic exemption letter or a religious exemption letter or some type of a conscientious objector letter for your employer, you want to insert paragraph 2295 because that has all the teeth coming from a Catholic point of view. I'm saying this is what the church teaches. The church is basically saying no human being is required to be an experiment. And the last sentence says here, experimentation on human beings does not conform to the dignity of the person if it takes place without the informed consent of the subject or those who legitimately speak for him. 2295, Catechism of the Catholic Church, that gives you the ammunition that you need when you're writing these exemption letters, religious exemption letters to your employer.
Jess, I've talked to a couple of my friends in the recent weeks, and speaking of their exemption letter, and they're of the opinion they're not gonna mention they're Catholic. They don't want their work to say, "Well, look, your Papa Francesco did it. You know, your bishops are promoting it left and right." So how are you gonna say that it's against your moral conscience? You know, so
no, they have a good point there. They have a good point there, but that again, I would just go to the Catechism, where basically it says that nobody, not a pope or nor a bishop, can tell you what to do with inside your moral conscience. In fact, it says it right here. In all activity, a man is bound to follow his conscience in order that he may come to God, the end and purpose of life. It follows then that he is not to be forced to act in a manner contrary to his conscience, nor on the other hand, is anybody to be restrained from acting in accordance with their conscience, especially in religious matters. That's also Gaudium et Spes number 16. That's in the Catechism. So again, no pope, no bishop, nobody can have you violate the principles of your moral conscience.
Mm.
Yeah. But I get it. There is a dilemma if you're going to write, "I'm a Catholic," because they're going to throw that at you. You're right, Ruben.
Yeah.
Well, point well taken. Just say, "I'm a Christian." Well, which one? Take and pick. There's 40,000 denominations.
Yeah. You know, so OSHA's reasoning for this, not reporting on the vaccine side effects, they said it might discourage or disincentivize employers' efforts to vaccinate their workers. OSHA does not want to give any suggestion of discouraging workers from receiving the COVID-19 vaccination or to disincentivize employers' vaccination efforts. And so you're not getting the full knowledge of what you're putting into your body. You're not able to really examine this and say, "Is this something that I want to do?" It's criminal, I think, Jesse. This is
it's
sin of omission here.
That's right. It isn't up to the experts and the elites to decide what truths the American people are allowed to hear. The fact is, thanks be to God, there's a bunch of Catholic doctors, Catholic and Protestant doctors, and people of goodwill. They filed a lawsuit against the FDA. It's Freedom of Information Act, asking them to give them relevant data because they're hiding some of this data from the people. And we have the right to know, again, like you said, the adverse effects, how many people are dying after they take the double jab, how many people have gotten sick or have, other side effect issues as a result of the double jab. Yeah, Ruben, this is a mess, and they're playing fast and loose with the facts.
Yeah, and a lot of these people that are dying now are vaccinated people. General Colin Powell, you know, died of COVID, and he was vaccinated.
Marvin Hagler.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
Hank Aaron.
Yeah, again, these people that are getting the double jab, they seem to have, well, the studies show from the doctors, from American frontline doctors and others, they're showing that they're dying at a higher rate than the people that are non-vax, the non-jab people.
Yeah.
That's the point that we're making. And they're trying to hide that information, Ruben. They're trying to act as if the non-jab people are the super spreaders.
Yeah.
And that we're the dangerous one. We're the super spreaders and the shedders. Watch out, watch out. Here they come. Yeah, they're trying to start a two-class society. It's just like the Germans did with the Jews.
That's right.
Hey, Ruben, I'm out. I got a radio interview on another station. So have a good show, and I'll catch up with you on Tuesday. God bless.
God bless. Take care. You're listening to Jesus 911. We'll be right back. We'll be talking about St. Teresa of Avila.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Jesus 911, if you stay ready, you don't have to get ready. And this is Ruben. Jesse has had to leave us. He's had a prearranged interview. And so he's going to go out there and spread the VNPR message for us and get people who don't otherwise know about us, you know, on board. So I'm going to go ahead and switch gears. We're going to be talking about 10 spiritual lessons from St. Teresa of Avila. It's an article by Father Ed Broom. Some of you who, locals in California know who he is. He's out in the Hawaiian Gardens area at the parish there. And, you know, St. Teresa of Avila, she has some just amazing quotes. You know, and just finishing up what we were talking about in the last two segments, you know, St. Teresa said, "Let nothing perturb you, nothing frighten you. All things pass. God does not change. Patience achieves everything." You know, and that's a great challenge that when we witness such vicious acts of violence and attacks against innocent life in the world, you know, we have to continue to trust in God's wisdom and mercy and persevere in prayer, you know, for all involved. And Christ is no stranger to suffering. You know, obviously, you know that, and loss. Let us turn to Him with our questions and prayers, and just always letting Him know, Jesus, I trust in You. So, you know, there's only 2 weeks in the liturgical calendar that separate two marvelous, inspiring, and most lovable saints who truly love us and want us to love them: Saint Teresa of Lisieux and Saint Teresa of Avila. So St. Teresa of Lisieux, we celebrate on October 1st. St. Teresa of Avila, we celebrate on the 15th. So what do they have in common? Both are women, obviously. Both are in the class of the few women doctors of the church. Both were great contemplatives. Both were Carmelite nuns. But most importantly, both were and are, will be for all eternity, great lovers of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So, Father Broom, in this short essay, he's going to pay tribute to St. Teresa of Avila and highlight 10 of her great contributions to the Catholic Church. And it's a model for holiness that we're all called to attain. Remember, our Lord, our Savior said in the context of the Sermon on the Mount, "Be holy as your heavenly Father is holy," Matthew 5:48. So being holy, arriving at sanctity of life, is not conditional. It's not something that only a select group is called to, but Blessed Mother Teresa of Calcutta challenges us with these stirring words: "Holiness is not the privilege of the few, but the duty of all." Holiness is not the privilege of the few, but the duty of all. So let's lift up our gaze to St. Teresa of Avila, who will point to Jesus, our Lord, God, Savior, and faithful friend. The first point that Father Broom makes is prayer. You know, so one of the key hallmarks of the spiritual heights of St. Teresa of Avila is the importance of prayer. Though she struggled for many years, she teaches us the basics, but indispensable spiritual truth: perseverance in prayer. Meditate upon her immortal words of wisdom and memorize them. We must be a determination to never give up prayer. We must have a determined determination. So Jesus taught us that this supremely important truth in the parable of the insistent widow and the judge. This judge, due to her dogged and tenacious insistence, finally gained the assistance of this cold-hearted judge in Luke 18:1-8. St. Teresa insists that we must never give up in prayer. If you like an analogy, what air is to the lungs, so prayer is to the soul. So healthy lungs, and they need constant and pure air. Healthy soul must be constantly breathing through prayer. It's the oxygen of the soul. Such great advice there. And so we're talking about prayer. the next thing is the definition of prayer. So St. Thomas, he gives us simple but very solid advice. He says, define your topic before you start to talk about it. So by doing this, you can avoid much confusion. St. Teresa of Avila gives us one of the classical definitions of prayer in the history of the Catholic, of Catholicism. And she says, prayer is nothing more than spending a long time alone with the one I know loves me. A short summary. Two friends love each other. Jesus himself called the apostles friends. So are you called to be a friend with Jesus? And the third point, you've got love for Jesus. St. Teresa gives us a hint to prayer growth. You know, she's a woman doctor of the church. And she said that many graces by meditating upon the humanity of Jesus, by spending time with Jesus, the Son of God, made man, and entering into colloquy with him is sure path to growth in prayer. She says, just try it. And Ignatius of Loyola, in the Spiritual Exercises, insists upon us in begging for this grace. Intimate knowledge of Jesus, that we love him more ardently and follow him more closely. You know, it's kind of like that prayer, Lord, help my faith, give me faith, or help my unbelief. And so you have to just ask Jesus. He will fill you with the graces that you ask for. Rather than material things, you really want to start asking him for these graces to get closer to him, to love him more and more, you know, because it's not him that's pushing away from us. It's us pushing away from him, you know, with things of the world, the flesh and the devil. Fourth point, love for Jesus in his sufferings. It seems to be a common denominator in many saints, the call to contemplate the love of Jesus through his sorrowful passion. Padre Pio, St. Catherine of Siena, St. Faustina, Teresa of Avila. For Teresa, she had a mystical experience of Ecce Homo, behold the man. That's what Pontius Pilate said to Jesus, Ecce Homo. She saw Jesus with his crowned head, and this moved her to a greater love for Jesus. And you know, that there's something about his suffering. You compassionate Jesus when you think about his sufferings. Just think about when we do the Stations of the Cross, you know, during Lent, we're meditating on his sufferings, his passion. And we can bring him comfort by meditating on this and loving him. Because remember, Jesus is out of time. He's outside of time. So, you know, he will know. He knew way back then what you were going to be doing in 2021. Anyway, the fifth point is Holy Spirit, the divine teacher in prayer. On one occasion, the saint was really struggling with prayer, and she talked to a Jesuit priest for advice on overcoming her struggle. His advice was simple and to the point, but changed her life. The priest insisted that she pray to the Holy Spirit. From that point on, following this great advice to rely on the Holy Spirit, Teresa's prayer life improved markedly. And St. Paul even talks about that in the letter to the Romans. He reiterates the same point. In the same way, quote, in the same way, the Spirit too comes to the aid of our weaknesses, for we do not know how to pray as we ought, but the Spirit itself intercedes with inexpressible groanings, Romans 8:26. So let's be led by the best of the teachers, the interior master of prayer, the Holy Spirit. And you know, a lot of people don't know. I mean, there's nothing wrong with it, but they'll just pray maybe to God the Father or maybe just to Jesus. And a lot of times we leave out the Holy Spirit, and they each have their distinct jobs that they do. So, you know, we want to be able to use all three persons of the Blessed Trinity. So the next point is to spiritual direction. And this is something that, you know, I could use right now. We have, you know, haven't had a spiritual director in some time. So she's saying to attain constant growth in the spiritual life, we must have some form of spiritual direction. So spiritual blindness we all experience, the devil can disguise or camouflage as an angel of light. And the higher we climb in the spiritual life, the more subtle are the tactics and seductions of the devil, who is searching for us as a roaring lion ready to devour us, 1 Peter 5:8-9. So during the course of her life, St. Teresa of Avila had recourse to several spiritual directors. Some of them, these are now canonized saints. Can you imagine that? St. John of the Cross, who was a Carmelite. St. Francis Borgia, a Jesuit. St. Peter of Alcantara, Franciscan. And finally, Jerome Gracian, a well-known Dominican scholar and theologian. So true, all of us cannot have three canonized saints and a brilliant Dominican theologian to guide us, but we can and must all find some form of periodic spiritual direction. St. John of the Cross put it bluntly, he who has himself as a guide has an idiot as a disciple. Bingo, right there. He who has himself as a guide has an idiot as a disciple. And, you know, having a spiritual director, it's someone you can go to for, you know, confession on a regular basis. You can, I mean, it's tough to find the priests that can make the time to do something like this. But if you can, that would be the thing to do. Because you go to a regular confessor, then it's, you know, he knows you, he can give you good mentorship, and you know, you're not just jumping around to, you know, different churches, so you can make sure that they don't know who you are. It's just something to think about. You can really get the help if somebody knows, you know, where you're struggling, and can also give you advice and give you the right penance to help you. Give you the right things to read as well. So, mentorship and spiritual direction is huge. The seventh point is conversion and reform. So a major highlight of St. Teresa of Avila was the whole concept of conversion or reform. So with St. John of the Cross, she was the primary instrument that God chose to reform the Carmelite order. However, Teresa was keenly aware of this truth. To convert others, we must start with ourselves. This she worked on during the whole course of her life on earth. And Jesus' first words in preaching were, "Be converted, because the kingdom of God is at hand," Mark 1:15. So we may constantly need to constantly strive for a deeper conversion of heart through the intercession of St. Teresa of Avila. And her eighth point, I'll stop there. Hear the music. We're talking about the 10 spiritual lessons from St. Teresa of Avila, written by Father Ed Broom. And we'll be right back. We'll change that dial.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Jesus said, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." So it's an action. It's something you have to do. It's not just, make your profession, and you've got to go out there and... We don't say as Catholics that we earn our salvation, but we merit it by our. It's both. It's not just faith alone. It's faith and work. So, don't anybody try to tell you that all you have to do is believe. You know, even the devils believe, right? So, got to get out there and work at it. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling, St. Paul says. So, number eight, we're talking about 10 spiritual lessons from St. Teresa of Avila, and. Her eighth point, Father Broom's eighth point on it, was spiritual masterpieces, her writings. Without a doubt, one of the major contributions to the church as well as to the world at large are the writings of, or spiritual masterpieces of St. Teresa of Avila. One of her basic themes is that of the importance of prayer and striving to grow deeper and deeper in prayer until one arrives at the mystical union of the spouse with Jesus, the heavenly spouse. Anyone who takes his or her prayer life seriously should know of Teresa's writings and spend some time in reading some of her anointed writings. What are her classics? Here they are. Her Life is one of them. The Way of Perfection. The Interior Castle. I started that one, but didn't finish it. And it's pretty deep. The Interior Castle. Foundations is another one. In addition to these textbooks, she's also wrote many inspiring letters. So you want to become a saint, read and drink from the writings of the saints, especially the doctors of the church. You know, we always tell you guys, you know, hey, read good books, but it's not good books you should be reading. You should be reading the best books, because, you know, how could you do any better than St. Teresa of Avila or some, you know, St. John of the Cross? How could you do some of these new authors? I mean, they're fine and everything, but these are canonized saints, man. These their work got them to heaven. Their love for Jesus, and they can help you get deeper. So, you know, time is something that a lot of us don't have. So let's not just waste our time just reading any books. Remember, read the best of books, okay? And that has and these great saints, especially doctors of the church like Teresa of Avila, those are some amazing books. Number 9, the cross as the bridge to heaven. Jesus said, anyone who wants to be my follower must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Another common denominator in the lives of the saints, right? It's the reality of the cross. St. Louis de Montfort, he would bless his friends as such. He would say, may God bless you and give you many small crosses. You know, those crosses all come from God. He allows you to have them, okay, because he wants to make you better. And through our sufferings, through our crosses, through our tribulations, he's like the, you know, the carpenter, or like he's the one who's molding the clay, right? And so we just have to be, you know, open to his molding. Saint Teresa lived with a constant friend, the cross of Jesus. Her health was always very, very fragile. She almost died while a very young woman. Furthermore, for Saint Teresa of Avila to carry out the reform of the Carmelite, she suffered constant attacks and persecutions from many nuns in the convent who preferred a more comfortable lifestyle, from priests, Carmelite priests even, and from other ecclesiastics. Instead of becoming discouraged and losing heart, she joyfully trusted in the Lord all the more. Anyway, it was his doing. It was his doing when he allows it to happen. So he doesn't give us illnesses, you know, but he allows them to happen, you know. And so that's something to think about, something to keep in mind that, you know, Lord, you know, you can ask for healing, but ultimately it's his will be done, right? The 10th point, Our Lady and St. Joseph. So St. Teresa, you know, during the course of her religious life, she loved the Blessed Virgin Mary. As is common in the lives of saints and hopefully your life, the title of her specific Marian devotion was Our Lady of Mount Carmel. Never forget in your love for Our Lady to wear the scapular of Our Lady of Mount Carmel, and I don't leave home without it. It's always on me. This is your external sign of consecration to Mary. But furthermore, some of you don't know this, but St. Teresa of Avila cultivated a tender and filial love to St. Joseph. She attributed her recovery from a sickness that almost ended her life to the powerful intercession of St. Joseph. And also, every new convent that she established, she gave the name of San Jose, St. Joseph. You know, she was constantly saying, you know, to go to Joseph, you know. So, in conclusion, may the great woman, doctor of the church, doctor of prayer, St. Teresa of Avila, be a constant inspiration to you in your own spiritual pilgrimage to heaven. May she encourage you to pray more and with greater depth, arrive at a deeper conversion of heart, and finally love Jesus as the very center and wellspring of your life. That was from Father Ed Broom. And amazing. Many of us don't hear about St. Teresa of Avila. We hear about some of the, you know, like Teresa of Lisieux, because she's more contemporary. But yeah, there's some really deep saints that we need to plug into. And she has some amazing quotes. I just, in the time we have left, I'm going to go over some of her quotes. She said, the closer one approaches to God, the simpler one becomes. So we have many worries in the world, right? And they're legitimate and valid, but some demand time, energy, and our time, energy would be better spent elsewhere, right? So, but if we strive for a deeper relationship with God, we He will help us to release some of these worries, the fears, anxieties that separate us from one another, cause conflict between individuals and on a larger scale between nations, right? It starts with each one of us. And another quote she says is, truth suffers but never dies. Well, we know truth is not just a word, it's a person. Jesus Christ was the way, the truth, and the life. So truth suffers but never dies. And it's important to remember, because peace comes from remembering that the battle with death has been fought. And it's already been won by our Lord Jesus Christ. So in light of everyday trials, and even in light of deep distress, we can find peace in the resilience of truth and goodness. Another quote she has, to have courage for whatever comes in life, everything lies in that. To have courage for whatever comes. So and just remember, courage is not the absence of fear. It's the victory of peace over fear. You know, you don't think that when I was going through doors, doing search warrants, that there wasn't fear. We all had fear. It just, the fear didn't paralyze us into not acting. I think that's what, where courage comes in, because it's not saying that you don't have it, because of the fear, you're going to move forward anyway. And I'll tell you, there were some close calls out there. So you just you trusted God, and you trust that you're doing His will, and that you're in a state of grace. Remember, stay ready so you don't have to get ready. And the tree that is beside the running water is fresher and gives more fruit. So true, right? So if we desire peace, we have to cultivate peace in ourselves and in our hearts. Pretty simple. And another quote she has is, we need no wings to go in search of Him, but have only to look upon Him present within us. So we may be always assured of God's presence with us and be filled with the peace that comes from that assurance. Another one, pain is never permanent, okay? Again, we could find peace in the eternal promise of peace no matter what assails us here on earth. It's temporary, okay? Peace is everlasting. When Jesus Christ, He promised us, if we get to heaven, He's prepared a place for us, and peace is going to be everlasting there. So the pain that we're struggling with, whether in our bodies or in our families, the pain that we have because of a lack of a job, or you know, maybe not enough food on the table for the family, those things are going to pass. And so we have to pray, hope, and don't worry, like St. Padre Pio says. And then another favorite of mine is, Christ has no body now but yours, no hands, no feet on earth but yours. Yours are the eyes through which Christ looks compassion into the world. Yours are the feet with which Christ walks to do good. Yours are the hands with which Christ blesses the world. And that's a beautiful reminder for us about where peace comes from. So often when, you know, we witness suffering and tragedy, we find ourselves saddened by helplessness. What can we do in the face of such pain and loss? Only something very small sometimes. You know, it may never reach those in need directly, but it could reach someone else in need, someone in my own community. It could be the difference between a sense of belonging and a sense of isolation. This beautiful quote, you know, it echoes the prayer of St. Francis, Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. So we got to be the light to the world. You know, we don't put that light in under a nightstand, right? We have that light, and so that it gives off that illumination, and you need to be that illumination for others. You want to be attractive because, well, one thing, a knowledgeable Catholic is a attractive Catholic. It's contagious Catholic, and but someone who loves, that deep love that you have, and you just to compliment people and make their day, fill them with hope and love and you know, so if they don't know God but they know you, they'll come to know God because they know you. Anyway, you want to pay God a compliment by asking great things of Him. Sometimes we feel like we never see see peace in the world. We must persevere in prayer for peace. Nothing is impossible with God. And I think our show's coming to an end. So we are Jesus 911. We hope you enjoyed the show. Let's remember, we're in the month of the Rosary. And we got to get out there and lead others to the truth. You've been listening to Jesus 911. And upcoming is Hands-On Apologetics with Gary Mishuta. And Jesse will be back tomorrow. And I'll see you guys on Tuesday. All right. Keep up the good work. And have a good day. We will be with you once again. If you like the show, share. And share it with others and hit the like button. We are 10-7. We're out.